Angie Setzer, Vice President of Grain for Citizens Elevator in Charlotte, Michigan.
Angie, let's begin with the soybean market and what has transpired over the last month or so after futures got down near that 825 level. We've seen a pretty good recovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have. I think really when it came down to it, we saw a lot of really heavy selling based on headlines, the ideas of what tariffs would do. It seems like a lot of folks have this belief that demand can shut off overnight and supply can increase exponentially also overnight. Both of those things are virtually impossible. So we have noticed that our export sales pace is still very strong for new crop, even with the noticeable absence of China. Obviously, if most of Brazil's beans are going into the Chinese market, other buyers are going to need some source of beans, and that's us. After the Argentina drought, you know, they can provide some meal, but they're actually going to need to import whole beans to crush in order to export and meet their commitments there. So the demand globally is still very much there. It hasn't gone anywhere. And so folks are starting to recognize that. Really, when it came down to it, last month, the USDA reduced new crop soybean exports by 200 million. If you look back at their initial numbers that they had released in May, a lot of folks were really questioning the 200 million increase year over year anyway. So they just brought us back in line with last year when it comes to export expectations. And I think if we were to see some sort of resolution come about with China sooner than later, we would definitely see a further bullish catalyst, and then we're waiting to see what production's going to do, what August weather will bring.
Right, and that's what I wanted to talk about next was weather in August, especially for soybeans, but just in general, some potential problem areas that could provide some bullishness.
Yeah, there's definitely some areas out there that could provide some bullishness. We've got to see what's happening. A lot of folks are anticipating, you know, similar to what we're seeing in corn, this significant increase in yield over a year ago. The USDA right now is at a 48.5, I believe. The reality is we probably could stay around there, maybe even see a slight reduction if we don't get that rain and see some of that heat come in that folks are anticipating. Right now, there's a real struggle with what we're seeing in the 10 to 15 and beyond forecast. So there's a lot up in the air. Of course, the last couple days this week, we've seen some negative Chinese headlines, you could say, you know, a little bit of some aggression from both countries in the trade war side of things versus the initial we were going to talk about it. So that's been a little bit negative. And then we've seen some of the heat removed from the forecast, but we've also seen some of the rain removed from the forecast. And right now, beans are definitely going to need rain to fill those pods.
Soybeans have been dominating the headlines, but what's happening with corn? Is it strictly a weather market, or are there some other things going on behind the scenes?
Definitely some other things going on. If you're looking at what's happening in wheat, the world's recognized, or at least the trade has recognized, that the world's not going to have an overabundance of wheat supply this year. The U.S. is going to be one of the largest suppliers. But if you look at the overall major exporter situation in wheat, we're at the second lowest on record for carryouts. So wheat and corn are very closely tied. And so that's a very interesting thing that we have to continue to pay attention to, is strength in wheat tends to be correlated with strength in corn. Right now, the corn-wheat spread is historically wide. Typically, you would see wheat about $1.35 higher than corn. It's working $1.85, closer to $2 anymore. So corn should maintain support just on that alone, even if wheat were to back off a little bit. And then, of course, like I said before, we went from these ideas at the start of July that we were going to have 180 bushels an acre national yield. It was a very common, you know, maybe it was a quiet, you know, no one had published it, but it was a conversation that was taking place across the U.S., you know, in hedge funds and things like that. So there was this idea that we were going to see this huge yield. Well, then we obviously saw a reduction in rainfall throughout much of July. Now, the temperatures were pretty close to average. Start of July was hot, end of July was cool, and ended up being very average in Des Moines, actually right on pace. But it was the third driest July on record in Des Moines, and you can definitely tell when you look around. So that is having some real impacts on the production outlook for corn. We've seen some folks really back off on what they're anticipating, and we're waiting to see what the USDA has to say. But when you look at corn carryout, it's tightening for next year. We're about 1.5 billion. And when you look at global corn supplies, it's the U.S. and China. If you look at the U.S. and China, they're close to 70% of the overall corn holdings. Chinese corn's not going to come into the pipeline, so the U.S. is really the only supplier that's out there. The further reduction in production outlooks we see in the Black Sea region in Europe will also kind of fuel that fire. And really, when you look at the long-term outlook for corn, I would say we have a lot of support, if not the idea that we could move higher in price, especially if we were to see yield stay closer to the current estimate from the USDA, which is about 174 bushel.
Here at the Iowa Women in Ag Conference, market-to-market host Delaney Howell shared what I thought was a pretty surprising statistic. She said only 7 to 8% of farmers use option strategies when they're marketing grain. As you look at the current climate and strategies going into harvest season, Angie, what's your advice?
My advice right now is to be aware of what you're looking at from a point of profitability, and also be aware of the fact that corn has come back so much. You know, you're back into that 385 December range, which was where a lot of folks looked to start last winter. That was really kind of where December corn was trading for much of the winter time. We did get that rally and that bump in price. Yeah, but don't look at what the high was early on when trying to make determination on what to do from a sell standpoint. You can look at using some sort of option strategy with calls. Right now they're getting a little bit more expensive because the market has moved higher. You know, overall, you just have to know what you have to accomplish. Know your non-negotiables is what I tell farmers. Know what your cash flow needs are and what your space needs are. And those are the things that you run out of time very quickly. So if you're waiting to sell those until you absolutely have to, you're probably going to end up doing something that you don't want to do. Be aware of those. Be willing sellers of those bushels, especially on the rally that we've seen here recently, if you have to. But when it comes to anything that you're going to keep in the bin or any sort of deferred, you know, next December or something like that, there's a lot of story left to play out. So don't feel like you have to make a decision tomorrow on what to do there when it comes to corn.
Last thing I want to ask you about, and I've been thinking about this for the last couple of months, what would the market look like if the trade situation wasn't happening? If we see some resolution with China, also with the renegotiation of NAFTA, could we see the possibility anyway that the corn and soybean market could really gain strength in 2019, 2020?
I definitely think so, yeah. I mean, it's going to have a lot to do with weather. I mean, unfortunately, that's really what you have to look at, is what's going to take place in South America in the next coming 6 months and beyond. But if we were to see trade resolved, especially in a favorable way, you could see some even new highs put in for the year on corn, you know, even higher than what we saw prior to Memorial Day there. Beans could test old highs as well. I mean, the demand is there. Demand will continue to grow. And then we just have to see what happens with production.